Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
But it bugs me when players say, whether it's Pacioretty or any player in any league, in any sport, when they say, I'm not going to negotiate during the season. But I don't understand why any player would say this, because the player, even if it's during the season, he is playing. He has an agent who does his negotiating for him.
Yeah, he doesn't have to
so
do anything.
Does it really matter if I have a game tonight in Pittsburgh?
Oh my God, I'm not going to play well because I'm negotiating.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
Hello?
Skippy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, but you know what? I'm spoiled now because last time we recorded and we used a fancy new microphone and I didn't have to wear a headset and it was great, and now I have to go back to wearing a headset and I feel like a schmuck.
Actually, it was, I didn't realize until just now when we're fiddling with all the gear and connecting by, you know, Skype, or we're actually using Google, but like how great it was last time because we were just so casual. Right?
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
So there's a lot to talk about, but here's my concern for today.
Oh.
I think every single topic I wrote down, you already have written down, probably.
Well, I only have two topics, really.
So you go first. Go ahead.
The National Football League.
Well, I think, like we said last time, the NFL schedule being like games only on the weekend, sort of helps us, organize our recording schedule, right? Because we want to see what happens in the week. So like last week, I didn't want to go over all the games, for sure not go over all the games. I picked five or six games or things that happened in games that I just thought were interesting and I wanted to talk with you about. Did you watch a lot of football this weekend?
Here's the problem. I watched no football this weekend.
Okay, but did
and
you
I know,
watch?
And I know one of our listeners is not going to be happy about that.
Did you watch highlights, at least?
I watched all the highlights. But the thing is, with the NFL, the stories are not always what happens during the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things going on before and after games.
Well, this week was particularly interesting because there's stuff going on today, like with Antonio Brown. I don't know if you're following what's going on today with him. There's stuff that happened after a game, you know, with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
And there's stuff that happened at halftime of a game.
I have all those things written down on my list.
So let's just go over them. I started with Antonio Brown. So he kind of went crazy at the end of the last game when they lost. He looked like he was yelling at Roethlisberger. He looked like he was yelling at the coach. It looked like Tomlin was yelling at him. And then today he didn't show up for practice. And there's a weird tweet that he sent yesterday about saying, like, he was answering a fan, supposedly someone he knows, saying, like, that he's no good and Ben Roethlisberger is the only reason why he's good. And then Antonio Brown responded on Twitter saying, yeah, if that's so right, why don't you see what happens when they trade me? So then everyone's like, oh my God, Antonio Brown wants to be traded. So his agent came out today and said he doesn't want to be traded, even though actually there is a tweet from Antonio Brown saying trade me. So it's a bit weird. And then he didn't show up today to practice. So that's kind of strange. I mean, I can't see any circumstances how they would trade him. Like, what a mess in Pittsburgh with this and Le'Veon Bell, like, basically, who knows if we'll ever see him? Well, we know we're going to see him. Le'Veon Bell has to play before week 11. He has to. Otherwise,
yeah,
he's going to,
if he waits till week 11 or 10 or whatever it is,
yeah,
by then it's going to be too late for the Steelers.
It's going to be too late for the Steelers, and he's throwing away, like, $800,000 per game, like, that he's not getting paid. Like, he's not getting paid.
These guys, we established this on our last episode. These guys are not the sharpest knives in the drawer. And,
no,
and it's
they're not.
Just, it's not just because of the off-field idiocies that they do. Is idiocies even a word? Like, they do a lot of stupid things off the field, you know, not during games, but they do a lot of dumb things during the game on the field.
Yeah, hell no, I mean,
and,
for sure.
And so this guy foregoing $800,000 a game, I would never do that, but I'm smart.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's all I have to say about the Steelers, other than that the Steelers look kind of like a hot mess. They got clobbered. Their defense looks like they can't stop anything. Offensively, they seem fine. They're scoring lots of points. but they're I was gonna say they're 0-2. They feel like they're 0-2, but they're 0-1-1. So, but well, but the season could slip away, you know.
So two things I want to mention based on your comments.
Mm-hmm.
One is you said the Steelers' offense is good. It seems like every team in the league has a good offense from what I've noticed.
Yeah, there's a lot of high-scoring games.
Way more than I've ever seen before.
But that's why the teams that actually have good defenses are the teams that are going to be in the mix for the Super Bowl. So we're talking about the Vikings, the Rams, the Eagles, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, the teams with these elite defenses that can sometimes stop someone, right, are the teams that could win, right?
Well, meanwhile, the Eagles didn't win.
No. I mean, that's the other, we can segue to my second point. The Eagles did not win.
Well, before you talk about the Eagles, though, I just want to say, as lousy as I did in my pick'em pool, I did go against the Steelers, and I got that game right, at least.
I would go against them often. Like they never
cover. Even when they're good, they don't cover.
But you seem to. But I don't know if you remember the end of last season. It ended really poorly. They got hammered right in the playoffs, and they seem to be like a lot of infighting. Tomlin seems to have like no control over the team. They're like, it just seems like a weird culture in Pittsburgh that doesn't seem like winning culture, if you ask me. But anyways, we're gonna segue to the... I'm going to just talk for 2 seconds about the Eagles. They lost, and my son was upset, but, like, he wasn't that upset. Because, like, can you name me a team in the league that would win a game without their starting quarterback, starting running back, and number one wide receiver? Like, no, that doesn't happen.
Well, the Eagles did that last year.
Well, no, but the Eagles had their starting running back last year in the playoffs, and they had Alshon Jeffrey. Like, there was no Alshon Jeffrey. There was no Jay Ajayi. He barely played. And there's no Wentz. So, like, the fact that they could hang in there is okay, you know?
Didn't they lose to Tampa Bay?
Yeah, they did. But Tampa Bay looks unstoppable with Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Harvard boy. Did you see? So, look, there's nothing to talk about the game. Who knows if Tampa Bay's for real? Who knows if Ryan Fitzpatrick is for real? Obviously, he's not going to throw 4 touchdown passes every game and throw for 400 yards every game. It's just not realistic. But did you see his press conference?
Yeah, I did. And that was hilarious, by the way. It was the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
First of all, he looked like maybe the twin brother or maybe even the child of Conor McGregor.
Yes.
It was unreal. And then I saw it and I was like, this is nuts. Then I read about it further. He was wearing DeSean Jackson's clothes.
Yes, he was.
DeSean Jackson was standing off to the side of the press conference shirtless because Fitzpatrick was wearing his stuff.
Did you not hear one of the reporters said, are any of those items yours?
Yeah, and he said, DeSean Jackson's.
He said, the only thing that's mine is my chest hair.
Right, okay, there you go. Because
it was visible.
It was visible. So, look, he's clearly having a great time, and why shouldn't he? He's been around the league forever. He's bounced around. He's always disrespected wherever he goes because he's always been a decent quarterback.
By the way, he actually is smart.
Yeah, he is smart.
As like, opposed to all the other players in the league.
You know, like the Wunderlich test?
Yes.
So it's like this test that they give quarterbacks when they enter the league to see how smart they are?
Not just quarterbacks, every player.
Yeah, but they really only care about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So apparently Fitzpatrick got a perfect score on that test.
I don't think it's the hardest test, to be honest with you.
I would love to take it and see what it is.
I can probably get you a copy.
Really?
I think I can, yes, because the CFL does the same thing.
Oh, okay.
I used to be one of the people correcting it.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. So the other big stories, well, the
By the way, I don't know why they even administer the Wunderlich test, because you could be the dumbest person on earth. If you can run and you can tackle people and you can catch a football, you're on the team.
Of course, you're on the team. Not only on the team, you could be getting $20 million a year.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if you fail the test.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So the other great story of the week was not that the Chargers destroyed the Bills, because that was expected. The Bills could struggle to win a game this year.
By the way, that game was closer than anyone thought it was going to be.
I guess, but Vontae Davis, the he's a corner or a safety. I'm not sure. He's played both positions in his career. Mm-hmm. Just kind of told his teammates at halftime, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's another hilarious thing that happened.
He left the field like with a few minutes to go in the second quarter, and he kind of is like, I'm not playing anymore. And then they went to the dressing room, and he just packed up his stuff and left, and he's like, I'm retiring. And no one's heard a word from him since.
It's like if you're playing a pickup game, you know, at the park on the weekend, and then your mother calls you in because it's time to eat and you got to go in the middle of the game. That's exactly what this is.
Well, he looked at this team and said, I don't want to like get killed every week if the Bills are going to keep getting destroyed and I'm injuring myself. And why do I need to do this? Like who knows what went through his head, but his teammates weren't happy. You saw some quotes from the Bills teammates and they weren't thrilled with the whole thing.
I don't blame his teammates. And there's so many other ways he could have gone about it. Like he could have said, oh, I'm injured, I can't play the second half. And then the next day or 2 days later say, you know what? I think I'm going to retire. Like he didn't have to do it in the middle of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he looks like a total jackass.
He does. There was actually a couple of really good games. Well, interesting games anyway. So the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Patriots, which I think
that was a shocker to me.
It was a shocker to you because you always assume the Patriots are going to win and cover. But, you know, when you were watching like the pregame shows, most of the panelists had the Jaguars. So,
but you remember these two teams played each other in January, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. And for three quarters, Jacksonville had them beaten.
But New England won the game. And and the rosters are not that different, I don't think, from last year to this year.
The Jacksonville roster is basically the same. Patriots just don't have any receivers, and now they've got Josh Gordon from Cleveland, so we'll see how that... Well, look, actually, I was talking with my son last night, and when Edelman comes back, and if Josh Gordon is good and plays, that's a formidable duo right there. They're going from like having no good receivers to having two really good ones.
By the way, Jacksonville didn't have Leonard Fournette, so
yeah, huge.
You know, it wouldn't. That's me thinking the Patriots are going to win that game before the game started is not such a crazy thing to think.
Well, you always think that they're going to win, so it's kind of impressive that how Jacksonville manhandled them. And the other game I hate both of these teams, but like the Cowboys just made the Giants look like a peewee team. Like, and the Cowboys are not even good.
No, they're not. That game surprised me also because I knew the Cowboys were not good. The Giants, they have a healthy Odell Beckham and they have Saquon Barkley and they have a healthy Eli Manning. They should be able to beat Dallas.
But a healthy Eli Manning, I don't know if he's, just because he's healthy doesn't mean he's good. I think he's just like you. I'm going to borrow your expression. He's past his expiration date.
You know, I don't remember ever saying that, but I'll take credit for it if you want to give it to me.
Okay, maybe it's not you, but I'm sure it's not something that I invented. So I think there's definitely something wrong there in New York. Maybe it's coaching related, play calling. I don't know, but things are going to get ugly. You know, things are really going to get ugly.
Okay, I need to back up a second because you mentioned Josh Gordon and you sort of just glossed over it.
Yeah.
But like, it's interesting how the Patriots do this. Like they got Randy Moss and they acquired other, you know, troublesome players, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
And if this guy is going to have a resurrection to his career, because he was great once, it's going to happen in New England. And if it doesn't happen in New England, it's not going to happen anywhere else.
I know. I hope for his sake, he kind of realizes... He probably doesn't, but I hope he realizes that this could be the end of the road. Like, once the Patriots take a flyer on you, that might be the end, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know. I hope he straightens himself around, and I hope he does well, but I'm not holding my breath. You know that there's a side deal in that trade that the Patriots actually get an extra draft pick if Gordon doesn't play 10 games.
Really? So the Patriots had absolutely nothing to lose in this deal.
Nothing. And I don't know why Cleveland wanted to get rid of him so badly.
Well, that's the thing in the NFL. This is what I don't get. And this has been going on for at least 10 years, if not more.
Yeah.
They'll just cut a guy rather than trade him, even if they could get something for him. Like, how many times have you seen that?
And most trades also are just for draft picks. You don't see very many like player for player trades. It's usually, that's why I thought at least get a second round pick for him. But they got a fifth round pick. That's like, That's nothing. That's literally nothing. That's a player that may not ever play. You know,
Minnesota got rid of three quarterbacks after last season. I don't know what they got for any of them. Did they get anything for any of them?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I'd have to look it up. But you didn't get very much. They didn't get very much. Speaking of Minnesota, that's the last game I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
What a crazy game.
I saw the highlights. What a
crazy game. First of all, everybody's talking about this Clay Matthews roughing the passer call that cost them the game.
I saw it.
Yes, it cost them the game. But like, people are losing their mind over this thing. That roughing the passer play, the wrong call, like when they call it when it's not merited, that happens every single week. Even before they change the rules. That happens every single week. It happens every single week. Last year, the year, it happens all the time. Just that what happened this time, it was on a nationally televised game on the Packers, which has a huge national following, and the call decided the game, essentially. But that call is not new, right? Refs make mistakes, and you kind of have to live with it, which kind of sucks if you're a Packers fan.
But the league came out and said that the refs did not make a mistake, and they called that properly.
That's even worse.
Because of the new rule, that's how the league wants the refs to call it.
But I saw what Clay Matthews said, and he was like, what do they want me to do? I didn't lead with my helmet. I didn't drive the quarterback into the ground. I didn't land on top of him. I didn't there's all the things that they're trying to teach him about how to tackle properly. And he says he did them all. And I kind of agree with him. When you look at it, it's a very innocuous play.
I heard one thing today on the radio about this whole new tackling rule and what the league presented to all the television networks before the season started.
Right.
About how they want these tackles to occur is right after you wrap up the quarterback, rather than you land on top of him, even if you're not landing hard, you have to sort of turn so that both you and the quarterback are landing on your side and there's equal distribution of weight on both players. Yeah, well, that is how the league wants to do it. But there's no offensive lineman or defensive lineman, I should say, who is going to do that.
Well, it's you see what happens when a quarterback's getting sacked. You're a defensive lineman. You're going up against the offensive lineman. You're trying to get to the quarterback. Like, it's chaos. It's complete chaos in those trenches. And when you get your hand on the quarterback, you're not going to, in that split second, one-tenth of a second that you have, you're not going to be like, oh, I better land sideways.
No, of course not, is why it's silly.
It's so silly. Honestly, it's so silly. The big story in that game is that the Vikings kicker, like, I don't know what happened with the kickers this week. No one could kick a field goal. And as soon as he missed that last field goal, I'm like, well, he's cut. And then, sure enough, the next day he was cut.
Yeah.
And
had we recorded this on Sunday night,
yeah,
I would have told you on Sunday night that there's two kickers that need to be cut before I go to bed tonight.
But the Browns didn't cut their kicker.
They did.
Oh, they did. Okay.
They may not have done it on Sunday night, but they eventually did.
And the Vikings cut theirs on Monday.
Yeah.
And now I've read that they signed Dan Bailey, who I don't understand why he wasn't on the team in the first place. There's at least 10 teams in the league that their kickers can't hit a field goal. And this guy, literally the most accurate kicker in NFL history, the guy who, for my money, is automatic. Anytime he got up there, I'm like, well, it's going in, no matter how far it was. He's not on a team. And I know there's concerns over his back. Maybe he's got back problems. But I'll take Dan Bailey with a bad back over that guy, Carlson. Is that his name? On the Vikings. I mean, most of what happens is, like, the moment was too big for him. That was a 35-yard field goal. That was an extra point, a little bit longer than an extra point, the last field goal that he had to hit.
Yeah. Here's what I don't get. There's only 32 kickers in the world, really, because there's no other football league. I mean, if you want to count the CFL, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you cannot find 32 people who can kick a football?
If you should be able to, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't kick a football, but there must be 32 people out there who can do it. But there's
how many Division I college teams are there? 200? 100? There's hundreds of college teams. Each one has a kicker. All those guys have some kind of skill, right?
Yeah, but I mean, some of them are not good.
No, I know some of them are not good, but like, just like any kicker that played for an SEC team, Big Ten, Big East, like whatever, like these guys are all decent.
Get a rugby player from Australia.
So that's all I've got for the NFL. It was an interesting week with all these side stories, but like, we'll see how the rest of the season goes, because the cream is sort of our predictions for myself and Neil. And I know, even though you didn't make predictions, but I know kind of how you felt about who the good teams are going to be. You know, the Rams look great. The Chiefs look great. You know, the Jacksonville's as advertised defensively, and like, we'll see where it goes from there. Right.
Yeah. I have a couple other NFL notes that you didn't mention.
Oh, ooh.
First of all, you didn't mention Pat Mahomes throwing 6 touchdowns.
No, I just said that, you know, they killed them, but they killed the Steelers.
Which, you know, the guy's got 10 touchdowns in 2 games.
I know.
That's insane.
Him and Fitzpatrick are the 2 best quarterbacks in the league.
But the thing is, I saw the highlights and it looked like he was playing against a Pee Wee team. It looked like he could just do whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs offense, and I hate to say this because I told Neil that I thought that the coaching was going to hold the Chiefs back because it's so gimmicky, right? But it seems like Mahomes is just a perfect fit for everything they're doing. All the weird misdirections and like overloading areas of the field. And then, of course, they have game breakers. You know, they have players that as soon as they touch the ball, they could score, you know? Anytime Tyreek Hill touches the ball, he could score. Same thing with Kareem Hunt. These guys are like, I told you last week, it's like Tecmo Bowl. You never know. They're just going to break it for a 90-yard run. No one can touch them.
I have 2 questions for you that I don't think you can answer.
Oh.
One is...
It's a challenge.
One is, explain to me how Dez Bryant is unemployed.
Okay. Well, clearly, like you just said, there's only 30 kickers in the league. Well, there's only like however many receivers there are, right?
Well, no, because teams have like 3, sometimes 4 wide receivers.
He's clearly, look, he had 800 and something yards receiving last year. That's not, it's not Pro Bowl, but it's,
no, okay.
It's good. It's really good. Like, he's definitely at least a number 2 or a number 3 receiver on the majority of NFL teams. And what I read today is, because I really want the Eagles to sign him, what I read today is that there's concern over whether he even wants to play. I don't know if he wants to sign with anybody. So I think he's enjoying not playing, and he's just doesn't want to. He's not gonna just sign somewhere, you know. So
okay, my next question is, what's with all the ties in the NFL this season?
It's nuts, right?
There's been 2 ties in 2 weeks. I think in the last 2 years combined, there were 2 ties.
Well, they shortened the overtime
by 5 minutes.
But they did that last year, right?
I think, yeah. I think it's been in play for 2 years now, or a season and 2 weeks.
That definitely plays into it. I mean, the fact that the overtime's shorter. But the other thing is, if you notice, in those 2 games that were tied, what's the common thread?
The
field goal kickers couldn't kick anything. You saw, like, the Vikings kicker was useless. And the week before, in the Browns, like, they couldn't... Both kickers, the Steelers and the Browns, had chances to win the game. So, I mean, that's kind of the reason. But if we have another tie this week, we're going to have to start asking some hard questions about, like, the universe and our place in it and stuff like this. Because it's going to get crazy, no?
I mean, it doesn't really help either team. I mean, it definitely doesn't help either team.
No, I think
because it's... at the end, you're going to need a certain number of wins and you're not going to have those wins and the tie is going to be useless to you.
I look at them like sort of like a loss. Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm done with football, but I want the listeners to know that we have a new sponsor on our show.
A sponsor?
Yeah, we have a new sponsor on our show. So I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Okay.
And it's very timely because, as you know, the NHL preseason has just gotten underway, I think, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So hockey season is about to start, and the Skip and Josh podcast wants you to take your game to the next level. Pro Stock Hockey is your online resource for authentic pro stock hockey equipment and has the products and accessories you need to help get you there. Their gigantic inventory of pro stock equipment includes sticks, gloves, skates, protective gear, game jerseys, practice jerseys, and other hockey gear originally made for NHL players. Each item is thoroughly inspected to ensure you receive the finest pro stock hockey gear possible, exactly to the specifications you expect. Their enormous selection of pro stock equipment is constantly changing, with more products being added every day. Whether you're looking for a new stick, a new pair of gloves, a brand new visor, or just a couple of rolls of tape, Pro Stock Hockey has you covered. And listeners of the Skip and Josh podcast can now receive a 10% discount when they use the promo code Skip and Josh. That's SKIPANDJOSH. Skip and Josh at checkout.
Wow. That was the Pro Stock Hockey read.
It was.
I love it. So anybody who's looking for hockey gear, prostockhockey.com, and use the promo code and get your 10% discount.
Speaking of hockey,
the National Hockey League.
I know that its NFL season is in full swing, and the NHL season doesn't get underway in earnest until October 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
But preseason games have begun, and preseason games in any league are meaningless. However, I was watching one of the French sports channels the other day. I guess it was RDS.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up a graphic of the line combinations that the Canadians were using in practice. Now, I realize it's like the first practice, and half these guys are probably going to be cut, and it doesn't mean a thing what the line combinations are, you know, on September 18th.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do have this to say. You can say that you like the Pacioretty trade, or you can say you don't like it. And you can say that you like the Galchenyuk trade, or you can say that you don't like it. You're entitled to your opinion. But one thing I think is clear to anyone who is following the Montreal Canadiens is that they might have on their roster 4 or 5 NHL caliber players. And that is it. And I can see this team finishing dead last in the league.
Who do you count as the 4 or 5 NHL caliber players? You're not counting Weber because he's still injured.
No, I'm counting him.
And you're counting Price?
I'm counting him.
Gallagher?
Okay.
Drouin?
Okay.
Who else do they have?
Max Domi, let's count him.
Dano?
All right, I mean, sure. Yeah.
Okay, that's the list.
So there's 6, right?
Yeah, I mean, other guys are NHL caliber, but I know what you're saying. This is not a good team. This is not a good team at all. And sadly for us, the last 2 years, we devoted a lot of airtime on our show to the Montreal Canadiens. And I think we're going to have to find something else to talk about hockey. We might have to really go Leafs this season and really dig into the Leafs.
Well, we'll get to the Leafs in a second, but you know how I like to go see the Canadiens play in Buffalo because it's close and I can usually get tickets.
Yeah.
One of the good things about going to see the games in Buffalo is that the Canadiens usually beat the Sabres because the Sabres are so bad.
Yeah.
But this year, I think the Sabres are going to be much better than the Canadiens.
All bets are off, that's for sure. Oh, the Canadiens are definitely bottom 5 in the NHL. There's no doubt about it.
As for the Leafs, the expectations are through the roof for the Leafs, as you know.
Yeah.
I saw the most
ridiculous thing today.
What?
On Leafs Lunch.
I can't watch that show.
Okay, so you know I do love Andy Petrillo. I think she's great.
Yeah, I like her too, but I mean
they were actually talking about and they were being serious. Like they had straight faces. Like who are the Leafs top 5 goal scorers going to be this year?
Like is that not hard? That's easy to say.
I mean, they were trying to put them in order, I guess. Maybe that's why it was hard, but like it's really not that hard, you know? And they're like, yeah, they were like going on for about 5 minutes about how Austin Matthews is going to lead the team in goals. Like, no freaking kidding, you know?
Well, seriously. It might be John Tavares.
I know, but I mean, like, come on. And then with a perfectly straight face, Andy Petrillo is like, Tavares is going to be number 2. And here's my reasons why. Like, no kidding, you know? Like, it boggled my mind. Like, everybody knows they're going to be great, you know? We all have to accept it. We all have to accept how good the Leafs are going to be.
Hold on a second. Here's what I was going to say, even before you said any of that. I kind of feel bad for Leaf fans because just because you have the roster, which they do have, it doesn't necessarily mean that automatically they're going to win their division or they're going to win their conference or they're going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. A million and one things can go wrong.
And
if they do, I mean, it's going to be like people are going to kill themselves because they've never had as good a roster as this.
When you only have one goal, I mean, obviously your goal is to win the cup. But like right now for all Leafs fans, it's like if they don't win the cup, it's a failure. The season's a failure.
Which it shouldn't be because you know what? There's four teams in the Western Conference that are better than the Leafs, I think.
Maybe. Well, the Sharks now, I don't want to, I wanted to talk about Carlson next, but yeah.
Sharks are good. The Blackhawks are still good. I know they had a bad season last year, but they still have Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane.
Are you counting Vegas as a good team?
Yeah, why not? And what about Winnipeg?
Oh, Winnipeg to me is Winnipeg and Nashville are definitely contenders.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't even mention Nashville. So there's maybe five teams in the West that are better than Toronto.
And then you just said that, like, what if the Leafs don't win the division? Because Tampa could easily win the division.
And you can't count out Sidney Crosby and Pittsburgh.
Or what about Ovechkin?
And what about Ovechkin and Washington? So it's far from a slam dunk.
And Leaf fans are going to email us and tweet at me and they're going to bombard me with stuff saying you guys hate the Leafs. And like, yes, I do admit I hate the Leafs, but I can tell you they're a damn good team. But like, I just think the like expectations need to be tapered a little bit. Like,
I mean, that's why I feel bad. Like if God forbid they start the season in their first 10 games, like, you know, 3-7 or 2-8.
Let me give you another scenario. They start 2-8. And Tavares only has one goal in the first 10 games.
Well, they're going to trade him, of course.
It's going to, people are going to go mental. It's going to get crazy in Toronto.
As soon as
he goes three games without a point, everyone's going to be, what's wrong with Tavares? Let's shuffle up the lines. And you know, we're saying all this and they're probably going to start 10-0, right? Who knows?
They've started 10-0 before and then not made the playoffs.
No, but I get what you're saying. The expectations are so high. And if the only measure of success is to win the cup, and if you're disappointed with anything else but the Stanley Cup victory, you're setting yourself up for failure.
You know what? When's
the last time? I'll take that bet right now against any Leafs fan. You could take the Leafs and I'll take the field.
Oh, yeah. I'll take the field.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer, you know?
By the way, when was the last time the Leafs got out of the second round?
It was...
You don't know.
Was it the Matt Sundin years?
I don't even know
the answer. Or maybe it was the Doug Gilmore times. I don't know.
I don't know the answer.
It's
but so they should be happy with that.
They should. Yeah. No, but like their team is still so young, right? That the expectation doesn't have to be let's win the cup this year or bust. Maybe they make it to the final. Maybe they make it to the conference final. Maybe they learn something about their team, what the strengths are, what the weaknesses are, because they don't know for sure, right?
No, they're not battle tested, like you said. We know that their defense is weak.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't think they have one bona fide.
Well, Morgan Riley.
I mean, he's not an all-star to me.
Well, I mean, I think Leafs fans would say yes, but I agree with you. He's good. Let's just say he's good, but he's not a star, right? But what happens if the Habs trade the Weber to them in January?
I would love if the Habs traded Weber. and Price.
Okay, so can we get back to something else that I wanted to talk about?
Sure.
You mentioned the Sharks briefly.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about that Erik Karlsson trade?
Look, obviously the Sharks got a great deal. You know, the guys they gave up, I've never heard of them. Some of them are supposed to be good. One day, they might be. Who knows?
Yeah.
The Ottawa Senators are... that might be the only organization that's worse than the Canadiens.
Yeah.
You know, they were not going to get anything fair value for it when you're trading Karlsson. They just weren't.
No, they're not. It's impossible.
It reminds me of all those trades the Expos made a million years ago.
It reminds me of like the old 1970s, like Canadians with Sam Pollock when they got Guy Lafleur. They traded like when you trade four quarters for a dollar, you know, someone gets the dollar and the other guy has all the little four quarters, right? Like Karlsson's going to be the best player in that trade no matter what.
So 100%.
It's never going to work. And maybe the guy that they got who was their first round pick of the Sharks is going to be really good. Is he going to be an Erik Karlsson? No. I can tell you right now, no. Like, there's no chance. There's only one Erik Karlsson. You know? There's only one guy like that I've ever seen in my life, and he's fantastic.
Now last season, Karlsson was an off year.
He was back. Yeah.
And he was coming off an injury. So the truth is, we haven't seen him play 100% in a while.
In a while.
And some players, you know, they get injured, and even though they come back, they're never the same again. So yeah. It's possible that Carlson will never be the way he used to be 2, 3, 4 years ago.
But it's looking good on San Jose because he's very insulated. On Ottawa, he had to do everything.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, he has Brett Burns and Vlasic. You know, that's their top three. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Carlson and Burns on the same power play together is going to be scary.
There's no doubt about it. The only thing about the Sharks is they're in my opinion, the tougher conference.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to play. How many times they have to play Nashville? How many times they have to play Winnipeg? How many times they have to play Chicago? Yeah. How many times they have to play, you know, who am I leaving out? Los Angeles is still not a bad team.
Yeah.
You know, they won the cup not that long ago.
No, I agree. So. But I mean, I feel bad for those Senator fans. I really do. Because their organization is a mess. As much as we complain about the Canadians, it's much worse than Ottawa. It's just much, much worse. The thing that really is pathetic about how Ottawa has done business here is that, like, it was only two playoffs ago, they were in Game 7 of the conference finals in double overtime.
Against Pittsburgh.
And they came back the next season with huge, high expectations, right? This is what bothers me. They made a trade at the beginning of last year when they acquired Duchesne.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up a bunch of picks and prospects to get Duchesne, mm-hmm. right? So they're signaling to their fans, we have a good team. We were one goal away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals. We're going for it now. We're getting Duchesne. He's going to be the missing piece. He's going to put us over the top, and we're going to be better than last year. And then what happened? They stank, right? So, but was the team good? Maybe. It's like they just gave up. And they said, you know what? We don't want to pay Erik Karlsson, so we're going to completely rebuild now. It's like they went from one season to say one in within the span of 12 months, their organization was telling their fans, we're contenders. And then 12 months later, we're rebuilding. We don't expect any players on our team to be over the age of 20, basically, right? It's split personality.
Okay, listen to this list of players that were once on Ottawa and got traded.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, they did not get fair value for them. Okay, so the most recent one is Carlson.
Yeah.
But Jason Spezza, when they traded him, I don't know what they got for him.
They just wanted to get rid of him. Again,
right,
they just
exactly. wanted to get rid of him. And same thing, Marian Hossa, they traded him. They got Danny Heatley. Not a good trade.
Well, because Heatley didn't last as long, and Hossa played up until last year or 2 years ago.
And also, if you recall, Zdeno Chara was once an Ottawa Senator. They traded him.
Well, that was the biggest mistake they ever made.
So
almost
I mean,
as bad as this Carlson, because they had Wade Redden and Zdeno Chara, and they said we can only pay one of these guys, and they chose Wade Redden.
So I mean,
so there's a long history.
And then Redden
of
ended up going to a different team as well.
Yeah, there's a long history of mistakes there. And a lot of the moves that you've mentioned and others are financially based. They're all about money because they don't want to pay anyone. I mean, mm-hmm. if Erik Karlsson would have came to them and said, I'll play for $6 million a season, they probably would have signed him. But because they knew they couldn't meet his salary demands, they just said, okay, now we're going to rebuild. Which is, for an Ottawa Senators fan, it's sad. It's really
sad.
You
know, the thing is, if you're going to own a professional sports franchise,
yeah,
you need to be willing to spend a ton of money, and not just a ton of money, but more money than you expected to spend, because otherwise you can't compete. Otherwise you can't keep your players. And if you're going to keep doing this anytime, like these four guys that they got back from the San Jose, what happens in 4 years from now when one of these four guys is a superstar and then he wants a $6 million contract, they're going to trade him also? So what was the point?
It's so true. Yeah. I mean, I think the sooner Ottawa can find a new owner, if they can, the better, because he's just got to go. If they're ever going to make it work in Ottawa, they need someone else with a different vision than Eugene Melnyk.
But honestly, it can't be a person. It can't be Eugene Melnyk or Charles Bronfman. It has to be like Bell Canada or Air Canada or Videotron or Rogers.
It's got to have such deep pockets that when they lose money, it's just, they don't feel it.
Right. It's like the reason they own this team is not because they want to make money. The reason they own the team is because they want to promote their brand and promote whatever it is they're selling.
Yeah,
you know, like Rogers, they own the Jays and they're promoting all their cable and internet and mobile stuff at every single game. They I mean, obviously they prefer if the Jays win games, but like if the Jays go 500 and they're able to sell, you know, another 1,000 cell phones, they're happy.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's tough in Ottawa though. Ottawa is not a big city. It's a little small little town.
That's another thing. It's not easy to sell tickets in Ottawa.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
All right. Me too.
Okay. So before we sign off, I just want to remind you that to make sure that you never miss an episode of the Skip and Josh podcast, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or the podcast app of your choice. By the way, Josh, there is a new version of Overcast, version 5.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But you need to get the whole iOS 12 to get it. I don't know if you want to do that.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And also, we're on iHeartRadio, as everybody knows. If you listen to by Apple Podcasts, make sure you give us a review. And as usual, skipandjoshshow@gmail.com is our email address, @skipandjosh, our Twitter handle. And you can like and follow our Facebook page. And all the links to all the subscriptions are on skipandjosh.com, our website, as well as the link in the promo code for our new sponsor, Pro Stock Hockey. I wanted to tell you something that happened to me today.
What? What happened?
I can't even believe that I'm going to tell you this. So, as you know, I'm a big soccer guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Premier League is still on TSN and Sportsnet every Saturday morning, Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. But today was the start of the Champions League. And there was a big game that I wanted to watch at 3 o'clock this afternoon, which was Liverpool against PSG, Paris Saint-Germain.
Of course.
So I'm all ready to watch it, and I turn on my TV, and it's not on. There's no games on. And I'm like, how is this possible? Like, this is not possible. And then I started to think, TSN hasn't advertised that they're the home of the Champions League like they always do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I do a quick Google, and I find like a recent news article that says, yeah, TSN lost the rights to the Champions League in Canada. Guess who picked them up?
DAZN?
Yes, DAZN, or as I call them, DAZN. But I was like, DAZN, they're screwing me. Like, now I might have to subscribe.
Let me tell you something. Soon, DAZN is going to have every single league you can think of. Like NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball. They're going to have it all soon.
But and you're not going to have a choice. They're going right after, right now, they're going after the niche sports because they know they can't get the big ones, although they did land the NFL, which is huge.
It's not that they can't get the big ones. They have to wait till the contract expires with their existing provider before they can sign them.
Yeah. So right now, the fact that I had to watch the Eagles-Bucks game on Sunday on, I don't want to like tell you how I watched it on
your laptop
streaming site, and I had to watch the Champions League on the same site today with the kind of, as my friend Phil in France calls it, potato quality streaming. I don't know what that means, but that's what he called it. I might have to give DAZN a look.
Okay. We'll have to see how this plays out.
We'll have to see. You got anything or no?
I got nothing. Actually, I just want to tell all our Jewish listeners to have an easy fast.
Oh, you too, Josh. Have an easy fast. And I hope you have a feast when you break the fast tomorrow. All right, so I'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, have a great week.
The Skip and Josh podcast is over now. Don't worry, there'll be another episode soon.